Pamela Collins from the National Institute of Mental Health, which is part of the U.S. National Institutes of Health. I direct our Office for Research on Disparities in Global Mental Health.
I guess the first question I wanted to ask is, what, you know, in your experience as you've been writing grants, as you've been reviewing grants, what really works? What makes an outstanding grant?
I think there are a couple of really important things to think about. First of all, when you speak to someone at a funding agency, you have to make clear that you've actually looked at what the funder's priorities are. Look at what the funder's priorities are, look at what the mission statement is, and be sure that you have some knowledge of that before you begin the conversation, before you begin your ideas. But I think moving the next step after that, I think, is thinking about a long-term plan. So when you have an idea, this is an idea that is in the context of a long-term body of innovative activities that you'd like to do. And this piece that you're now going to apply for is simply that, it's a slice. It's a slice. So I guess there are three things I might say to think about as you're developing a proposal. So first of all, you want to propose something that is significant, that solves a significant problem, that everyone recognizes as a significant problem. And part of how you arrive at that is obviously knowing your context, but also aligning what you think is significant with what the funding priorities are. And the second thing is that it needs to be feasible. And you need to demonstrate that it's feasible. And that means, do you have access to the resources that are going to be needed? Do you have a team? Do you have a statistician who can help you formulate the data analysis and that, those sorts of things? I mean, that's on the most more basic. Do you have the equipment that's needed for the plan? And then I think it's very important to be able to take that significant problem that you've articulated, convince people that your plan is feasible, and then the proposal allows you to tell a clear story. Tell a story that is that takes the reader from step to step. I mean, most of you were here and listened to the theory of change presentations, but you need to tell a story in your proposal that takes the reader and leads them step by step through how you will actually make this happen, how you will actually operationalize this idea that you have. So this obviously requires a great deal of planning, and I think that planning is an iterative process. It's an iterative process of outlining what your objectives are, beginning to actually articulate those, but going back over that and refining as you discuss with your team so that you do come up with something that's clear, that's feasible, and that is told well to a reader who's not necessarily familiar with the details of your area.
Pamela, what's the biggest mistake that you've seen in the applications that you've seen?
You know, I think there's something really easy that you can do to not have a terrible application. And one of those, just going back to the basic things that you learned in high school composition, like learning how, making sure that you have got something that's visually appealing and easy to read. You've consistently indented your paragraphs. You've proofread your grant very carefully. I think people having also been a reviewer as well as a grant writer as well as now a funder, when you read something that has spelling errors, I can't tell you how that can turn people off immediately, even if you've got a lot of great ideas, spelling and grammatical errors and things like that. So just being very careful about how you present the information that you have can automatically give you some points. So, but the other issue that I would say is that from the funding perspective, and this I think both Julius and Noel have talked about things that are completely off target. But what I want to say is that we often get people that are interested in ideas that, yes, we're interested in these things in general, but they're the very opposite of innovation. So the question, although this particular study may not have been done in your very particular neighborhood, the question that we ask is, well, but we can predict what the answer to that question is already. You know, is this really going to add something to science? So I think that's a major problem. If what you're proposing is perhaps interesting to you, and perhaps it hasn't been done where you live, but does it really contribute? And the answer may be no, it actually isn't going to further our knowledge about this particular area or this particular problem. The reading the instructions is incredibly, I mean, that sounds very basic, but I've also had people call me in the week before the application is due. They've put in a lot of effort, and now they've realized that they're ineligible because they didn't actually read carefully.